Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
With that, we bring in the great man himself, Dick Girardi. Sir, I hope a stop at Woody's has already happened.
I have. Woody's in Northeast Maryland for the crab cakes. I was there from a quarter to 1 till about 1:30. And now I am on the Baltimore Beltway and closing on my hometown.
Yes, you are. And closing in on Pimlico eventually.
Yes, sir.
Where they've run this race since 1873. And there's no Kentucky Derby winner. First of all, let's get to the Derby. I texted you afterward and I said, what was that? And you texted back, impossible.
Yeah, it really was, Steve. You know, you go to the track long enough to see things. Like, that doesn't happen in another sport, right? The 40-point underdog does not win. It just doesn't happen. But in horse racing, occasionally, there's a result that's just mystifying, and Rich Strike would qualify. I mean, A, the horse wasn't in a race until Friday morning when Wayne Lucas scratched Ethereal Road. So he comes in off the also eligible list. And then he gets in the race, and he's 80-1, and he's 17th early and no factor. And then the race comes into the stretch, and there it is, the race we all expected, right? The two horses, the Bluegrass winner is charging at the Louisiana Derby winner epicenter in Sandown, and everybody's excited. The announcers are excited. And then out of the blue, and I was actually watching the turf horse in the infield. It's the first time I'd ever done that at Churchill Downs.
Yeah.
I see this horse streak by me inside the 16th pole, and I look at the number, and it says 21. and I'm thinking, am I supposed to say blackjack, like on a basketball broadcast? Or
that's
what?
Right.
And then it registered for us. I said, wait a second, that's Rich Strike. He's got to be a million to one.
Yeah.
And I'm going, what? And, of course, I mean, if you heard Larry Comas make the call for NBC, he didn't see the horse until the end because he came through on the inside and because he wasn't expecting to see the horse.
Right.
And to his everlasting credit, he did pick him up and call him the winner and had a great call like, that's unbelievable. And it was. Because Stevie won one race for reasons nobody's yet made clear to me. They immediately after he won that race, and they claimed him for $30,000, they started to have a plan to get to the Derby. I'm going, I thought you should have had a plan to get to the next week.
Yeah.
I mean, there was, what? And so they start running him in these prep races. They ran him the day after Christmas at the fairgrounds in Louisiana against Epicenter.
Right.
And he got beat 14 lengths, which is the equivalent of 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Which is the equivalent of forever.
That's a route.
Right, it's a blowout. I mean, he was distant, and I watched the replay, and he was losing ground the last 200 yards. Then he ran at Turfway Park, which is right next to the Cincinnati Airport, Northern Kentucky.
Yep.
3 times in what I call the backwoods prep races.
Yeah.
And he's on a synthetic track, and he runs like a fourth and a third, and he barely gets third in the final prep race called the Jeff Ruby Stakes, spelled S-T-E-A-K-S, for the people that are aware of Jeff Ruby, the steak joint all over Cincinnati, Louisville, Lexington area. It's not S-T-A-K-E-S, like a normal steak. Anyway, he runs third. He barely runs third. If he doesn't get third, he doesn't even make the Derby on points. He was 24th on the list when the week started. Then some horses that people said, we're not going, we're out. He moved up to 21st, and 5 minutes before scratch time, they call the trainer, go, you're not in, you're out. And then Wayne Lucas calls it a scratch, they call the trainer back, go, you're in. And I'm going, why are you in, but why do you want to be in? You got to put up thousands of dollars to start. To enter and start, why? What are you doing? and then the horse wins. What? With Sonny Leon and Eric Reed and Rick Dawson, three people, I think Sonny Leon was actually at Parks for 2 years, Steve, and I still didn't know who he was.
Well, he got he got suspended for 4 days last week.
Oh, yeah. He was riding at Belterra Park, which is the old River Downs in Ohio.
Yep.
Right on the Cincinnati River.
Yep.
And I wrote my story. I said Belterra Park is 108 miles from Churchill Downs. Might as well be a million. I mean, Steve, I'm being kind when I say it's double-A baseball. It could be more like the Smites.
Right.
I mean, come on. It's absurd. And you know what? He gave the horse a brilliant ride, and the horse came flying at the finish, and he won. I got no explanation. Epicenter ran exactly like I thought he would.
Yeah.
If I could go back and bet again, I'd bet again. But I can't account for that. I mean, Joe Rosario looked over to his left at the end and goes, what is that? He thought he had the race won, right? He held off Sandon. Sandon was never going to go by him.
Right.
What? Rich Strike?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
Well, because somebody said to me, when you talked to Dick, the two of you never brought him up. And I said, because I had him on Thursday, he wasn't in the field.
Exactly.
And even if he was, we wouldn't have talked about him.
Yeah. We wouldn't have. I was on my way to the Oaks on Friday when the person I was riding with says, hey, Lucas scratched the Thero Road. Rich Strike's in the race. I said, who's Rich Strike? I'd never looked past the 20 because I didn't think there was going to be a scratch.
Right.
So I said, hand me the form. I get the form. I look at Rich Strike while I'm driving for 5 seconds. I go, no.
Right.
He's like, no. He was like the fourth place team from the America East.
Yeah.
They won their tournament because all the other teams didn't show up. And now he's in the NCAA against Duke. And you go, I don't think so.
Anyway. And he wins again. And advances. And then they talk about, we had a plan. Our plan was to see, after the Derby, we'd probably run the Belmont.
Right.
You weren't even in the Derby until Friday afternoon. When did this plan come up?
Oh, yeah. Their plan was to run in the Peter Pan Stakes, which was last weekend at Belmont,
yes.
Because they didn't think they were getting in the Derby.
Right.
Then when they got in the Derby, their plan was, all right, we'll run in the Derby and then run in the Belmont. Well, they never thought about winning the Derby.
Right.
Right? Because right after the race, they go, well, you're going to the Preakness, right? You go, of course we're going to the Preakness. They didn't even know what the Preakness was. They didn't know when it was. They knew where it was. They realized after a couple of days that, oh, my God, we committed to running in the Preakness. We can't run in the Preakness. This horse has no chance. So they said, hey, he needs more time, and that's fine. It's fine. It's good for the horse, bad for the sport.
Right.
You'd like to see a Derby winner in the Preakness, obviously, and I'm sure NBC would have liked to see it. It's a great human interest story.
Sure.
But what, how did this happen? So now it goes off. People aren't talking about it anymore because there's no Derby winner. But, yeah, the reason they didn't think about the Preakness was they never thought about winning the Derby. Why would they?
Right, of course. Like, there's another race?
Yeah, right. And my guess is, and look, I think they're smart. I don't think they would have any chance in the Preakness.
Right.
Again. But I think that they're doing right by the horse. It's, not, as I said, not good for the sport. And the circumstances of the race, you're not going to get that pace like you did in Kentucky.
Right.
Smaller field. And the chances of that happening again are zero. So I think they thought about it correctly. My guess also, Steve, they didn't say this. My guess is, given how hard that horse ran, certainly, I mean, I would say conservatively, it was 10 lengths better than he'd ever run in his life. He probably had to be exhausted. And my guess is when they got him back on the track, he just didn't look the same, and maybe he wasn't eating right.
Right.
And they didn't say any of that, but I suspect that also went into the decision not to run.
So you got 9 horses in this field, and by the way, D. Wayne does have one. The Secret Oath is in the field.
Yep.
At the age of 86, he's got one in there, and of course, the favorite is the horse that was you and I both thought was going to win the Derby, Epicenter. So how do you want to play this one out?
So Epicenter did win the Derby. I'm just not considering that Rich Strike was in the race. Right? I mean, it was like he won it until he didn't win it. Steve, about 15 minutes after the race, I walk up the tunnel where the horses come for the paddock and the track, and I see poor Steve Asmus in there, and I go, Steve, I said, I don't know what to even tell you, man. Steve has won almost 10,000 races.
Yeah, and never the Derby.
He's now 0-24 yeah. in the Derby, and he did everything right with Epicenter, and he loses to an 80-1 shot.
Right.
He shook his head and said, I got no answer for you. So, yeah. Epicenter ran great. He ran exactly like I thought he would. He actually, in fact, Steve, he ran better than I thought he would.
Right.
There were certain circumstances that came up in that race I wasn't sure he was prepared for, but he did it all right. He held off what looked like the big threat the whole length of the stretch. And whenever you see a horse make a move to the lead and then another horse challenges like that and they fight back, that's the greatest sign you can see in a horse. I am pronouncing Epicenter as a stone-cold mortal lock. On Saturday, the only way he can lose is if this horse Early Voting, who's a new horse in the race, gets loose on the lead and he doesn't catch it. That is a scenario. I just don't think it's. I don't care if he gets loose on the lead. I think Epicenter's still running him down. I haven't felt this confident on a horse in a big race since California Chrome in the Derby in 2014. I just think the horse is going to win.
Right. What about other contenders? Because you're not just going to play a horse to win. You're gonna look at the field. So in the field, who do you want to put in the box?
So here's the play. The Secret Oath, you mentioned the filly. Terrific. Won the Kentucky Oak. It's been on an unbelievable roll. Great story. My man D. Wayne, the coach, wins the Kentucky Oaks 40 years after he wins his first Kentucky Oaks. He's 86. We're almost certain he's the oldest trainer in history to win a Grade One race. Puts her in against the boys. I got no problem. She fits. She could certainly get there. I'm going to try to beat her for second because I think that's going to be the shortest price. I'm also going to try to beat Early Voting for second because if I'm right about Epicenter, he's going to get Early Voting maybe early in the stretch. And maybe Early Voting gets tired at that point. I like Creative Minister, the two. Each of his three races have been sensational, getting better and better and better. First time in a stake race. He ran on Derby Day, Steve, in one of the undercard races, actually the fourth race of the day.
Yeah.
And they Kenny McPeak, his trainer, I know Kenny well. He's a 10% owner of this horse, and they didn't nominate him for the Triple Crown. It was a big mistake. It cost $600 to nominate a horse. And then you can nominate late for $6,000. They did neither. So they put up, they got to get in this race, they had to put up $150,000. They put up the money, Kenny's in for 10%, and they got to finish third just to break even. That tells you how confident they are in this horse's ability. I like what they're doing. I think the horse has a chance at like 12, 15 to 1. To be second behind Epicenter, they would be happy with second money, and I would be very happy with the exact paying 27.40, and I might have it for more than $2.
That would be my guess as well, that you would have it for more than $2. This is also different. It's a 9-horse field versus 20, despite 21 winning. So what does that do to how a race plays out on this track and all the BS about the tight turns? We've talked about that a million times. It's just not as wide a track. It doesn't have to be with 9 horses. So how does this have to play out? Get to the lead in something like this? Or does a horse have a better chance of coming back in something like this?
I love Epicenter. Post in this race, Steve, 8 of 9.
Yeah.
Gives Rosario options he didn't really have in the Derby. Remember, he was 3 of 20 there, and he kind of commit to get a position early in the race. So this time, he won't have to commit. I see Early Voting showing speed. I see maybe one or two other horses possibly showing speed, but I don't see Epicenter more than, say, like third coming out of the first turn instead of 8.
Right.
Maybe within a length or two of the lead. And then I just see him getting that great position, and I just don't see why he's not going to give a huge run again. And he's not going to have to come from as far back. The pace won't be as fast. So I think the fact that it's a shorter field and he's got that outside post where the jockey has options, he can, like, look to his left. Hey, look, if nobody wants to go, he'll go. He's fast enough to be in front. I don't think that's likely, but, yeah, I think the shorter field absolutely helps Epicenter for sure.
My friend, you are the best. Appreciate it. The conversation about Rich Strike's probably the best I've heard.
What? Who is that? Number 21, what are you doing?
That's right.
It's like, what? I'm telling you, Steve, I looked at him for 5 seconds. And then, of course, when I got home, I watched all the replays. What did I miss? I missed nothing.
Nothing.
Of course, still has no chance.
My running joke was when they were doing the post parade. And
yep.
he comes by, and at that point, he was 79-1 in the post parade.
Yep.
He ended up being.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
My comment was, I don't even think the owner bet on him.
No. He didn't. He actually did.
Really?
Hey, man, he got a $1.8 million. He's happy.
Yeah. He didn't even bet on his own horse. Not even he thought he had a chance. He's a son of a gun.
Crazy, right? You can't make it up, man.
Yeah. Dick, thanks so much.
All right,
brother.
Bye, bye.